This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the fall season edition of the Outdoor Podcast, proudly created by bowhunterplanet.com. This show is really cool because it does focus on outdoor activities and other things people like to do in the outdoors, including hunting, camping, fishing, and all the above. So make sure you guys tune in for this great season coming up in our fall 2024 podcast. The show today is brought to you in part by Easton Archery, Gas Bowstrings, Trophy Ridge, Moultrie Mobile, Vapor Trail, Burris Optics, The Bow Hitch, and caffeine provided by Deer Camp Coffee. Now, on to the show. Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. Dave Thomas here along with Tim the Mazarana. We hope you've had a fun summer. We are about to kick off the fall season here as we set into August here of 2024. And with that comes a lot of fun things and topics and bows and a lot of great things about the happen. Today we're joined by Anthony, who is one of our ex-members on YouTube, which is very exciting.
Whoop, whoop.
Anthony, thanks for being around so long, by the way, my friend. You've been around a long time. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Gosh, I don't even know how many years now.
It's been a long time. I don't know how you can't get annoyed by us yet. I don't know.
I'm surprised I've been with Dave this long, so, you know. Love you, buddy.
Oh, God.
Man.
So, you know, in my opinion, I love this time of year. Like, I think that when you start seeing all these bow launches, we have some coming up literally this week and into August, September. Obviously, September, October gets really hot in November with Matthews and Hoyt usually launching somewhere between November and October, November. And then you also get a few laggers that kind of lag into ATA, which isn't as much this anymore as it used to be, of course, but... Yeah. You know, so
no, definitely not as much as what it used to be. But I think it's just all around exciting because, you know, you start to see, you know, for those of you that have cell phone cams or are checking, you know, cards on cams, those velvets and those big velvets coming through. I was looking at pictures with some coworkers the other day and, man, they're looking good. So I think just all around gets more and more exciting as we move in. And then the next phase is when the weather turns a little bit cooler. Right. Once that weather turns a little bit cooler, I think that's where I really get excited for the fall season. Well, so
I'm just still trying to figure out why your arm's around me.
Well, it's a couple inches away.
You know, get like out of here. You just got your space. What? This is a double show.
This is like a cuddle shot. I can only like.
This is a duel.
Like, I got to be here to be on camera. It's all good.
Oh my God.
I love it. Can you tell we've been spending too much time together?
I haven't seen you in a while. Really, actually, it's been nice.
Just a little bit.
It's been like a week. It's crazy. Anthony, what gets you excited, man, about the fall season?
Well, so right now, actually, so the first elk season is be here for me, archery elk, that I've actually had a tag for that I could go to. There's other things. I had one last year, but I couldn't go. But thankfully, I was able to move it to this year because of it was a military orders and stuff like that. So I couldn't go last year. So thankfully, they were like, allowed me to just push it to this year. And I was like, okay, so now I have a guaranteed tag for this year. So that's I'm really excited for that. Been training, making sure I get in shape for that right now. And I don't know if I'm even close to ready right now, but I hope I am.
So walk us through. Are you doing a DIY? Are you doing guided? What state?
So DIY completely. I have a buddy that lives out in Montana, so he's able to do some scouting. He's hunted out there one. He's been a resident for about a year and a half now. So he's been able to do that and do some scouting. He didn't get one last year. He got close, but never closed the distance. So I'm going to go actually out there and pretty much spend the whole September taking all of September off to go elk hunting. So I was like, okay, I'm going to make sure I get one. I'm going to spend about a week and a half or so prior to do some scouting, and hopefully I could figure out where they're all at, and on day one I could just knock it out of the park.
Please tell me you're taking some GoPros with you and filming this adventure.
So I don't have any GoPros right now, maybe one day. But Insta360 maybe. I might actually buy one of those here this weekend, because it's like Ohio has like the tax-free week going on right now for back to school. So I think like cameras and stuff like that are like on that list, so you could purchase that stuff for a little bit cheaper.
Yeah, I always recommend doing that. I mean, because like, these type of adventures, you don't want to forget about them anyway, you know, like 100%. As you get older. Like, a lot of our best hunts, our greatest hunts, which aren't even amazing, to be honest, compared to some people's, we've always filmed them some way, shape, or form on a GoPro or anything. And I don't even care. I still launch it purposely on YouTube, so I always can go back and find it. So when I'm sitting around campfires with people that I just met or something, I tell them a story of our bear hunt in Canada. I'm like, you know, in fact, let me show you the video, you know? And then you can actually get to it, and I can go to John's video or whoever's video, you know, and find it, which is so exciting. And if you film all that, I'll put it together for you and put it online, man. I'm telling you, that's a great thing to have, you know, in telling your story, even just talking to your GoPro, telling what's going on day to day, you know, show some of the footage, of course, but that's the best part of my
opinion. Well, memories fade too, right? I remember like our first hunt where I got my first deer, it was with you, and like I remember it, but not in detail like I used to, you know what I mean? So, I mean, just to be able to look back on it, you know, and especially a successful hunt, and not only that, especially a DIY hunt on top of it. I mean, that is something special.
And that much time. Yeah. That much time too.
Yep. So are you hoping to tag out right away, or you want to spend a little bit of time?
Well, so a group of us, like friends that have been from South Dakota and stuff like that, are going out there. So we're going to have several people hunting with tags out there. So it's not just one. We might do some small little groups instead of one big group together, but like centralized. And if anyone gets an elk and stuff, we'll just like in reach each other and be like, hey, elk down this location. And if you're not on one, everyone's going to converge on one point to help get it cleaned out and get it out of there. So at least we got multiple bodies to be able to do it and help out, because, man, getting out one elk by yourself, no matter who you are, that's a tough feat to do.
Can't even imagine.
Are you drawing straws for who goes where and who shoots what?
Well, hopefully I get enough scouting in to be able to get enough to where I could be like, hey, go here, go there. But I'm going to be like, hey, I did all this scouting for about 2 weeks. I'm going first.
There you go. I like it, man.
So let's, now I know, Anthony, a lot of times in the live chats, you always, you know, there's a lot of conversation about the gear. So tell us about what you're using. What's the rig look like? The arrows, the arrow weights, broadheads. What are you using for this trip?
So I have two bow setups. I got a backup bow just in case at whatever reason fall on one, bend a sight, whatever the case is. So I have two bows coming with me. Both of them are PSEs. One's a Mach 30, PSE Mach 1 Stealth, or Stealth Mach 1. There you go. That's what it is. Sorry. At 60 pounds. And then the other one is a PSE Levitate at 70 pounds. And that's the primary one. So the Stealth Mach 1 is the secondary. The primary is the Levitate. With the Levitate, I'm running some Victory VAP XVs, extreme velocity, so they're really lightweight shaft with a lot of weight up front, so they're about 450 grains. I'm shooting about 29 inches, and it's shooting roughly around 295 feet per second. So I'm debating on, depending on what it all looks like, I have the Beast Broadheads expandables I'm going to have in there, the quiver, no matter what. And then I'm going to have some Day 6 broadheads. They're both at 125 grains a piece up front. So I'll have the Day 6 is probably the primary, and then the Beast Broadheads for follow-ups for longer range stuff if I have to get a follow-up shot.
That's exciting. The Beast one, I haven't, you know, I know you've talked about in the different lives here and there. I still haven't had a chance to hold it yet. I actually just messaged Josh about that, and he said he'd send some to me, so I got to get those. But with your testing you've done, what's your thoughts on that? Is it something you definitely are most likely going to use first, or what?
Well, I just like the idea of having a fixed blade as the first one, just because of like just cut on contact, no matter what. Like, I get almost worst case scenario. If I'm gonna hit the elk, I'm gonna actually hit it with something that's pretty solid and not going to break or bend or anything like that. I haven't tested the beast on anything. I was hoping to on some axis deer when I went in. June? I went to Hawaii to go hunt some axis, but didn't get in close enough to them. They were pretty dang hard to hunt, that's for sure. Got one with the rifle, but didn't get one with the bow. Within 70 yards, and that was about it.
Yeah, that happens. So, hey, what's your thoughts on, you know, when it comes to gear and it comes to arrows specifically, you mentioned Victory. What's your thoughts on, now this conversation actually just came up in the live feed I did earlier today, and a lot of people are talking about the UV arrows and stuff, but my question to you is just in general, what's your thoughts on that idea? Like the idea that companies who don't make arrows are now trying to make arrows. I mean, how does that make you feel, I guess, when you're thinking about arrow belt builds and buying arrows? Does that excite you that these companies are bringing out arrows, or does it make you think like, what's the point? Like, I don't
know. Well, so I'm pretty sure if I've understood the Ultra View, they actually paired with Victory. So their Victory is the arrow maker. They're just putting in their name on it, if I'm not mistaken. So it's just they're putting their name brand on it and they're charging. It's like the iPhone of archery. It's like, hey, let's be the rich and expensive. Like, I need to be the top tier person. And it's become a lifestyle. So everyone wanting to wear Sitka gear, like top end gear, you know, get the highest end bows, like, you know, the Carbon RX-7s, RX-8s, PSC Levitates and stuff like that. Even though I have one, but one of my favorite shooting bows. And that's, you know, I test out everything. It's like, hey, I'm going to tinker. And then the other part of me is like the one thing that I know about most companies is a lot of their arrows are made overseas, and the only company that makes them here in the United States is Easton. So I've honestly been falling on Easton more than anything just because of that. And what I've really found with a lot of the other manufacturers is they're very brittle. They break really easy. So I had some Black Eagles I liked for a little while. I went to Victories. They're nice. But I think Easton's probably one of the toughest, and they're made in the United States. So I think I've fallen on Easton unless someone else comes up with something different that I really like. But I'll probably go back to those, and honestly, probably going to go to the 6.0 Sonics, I think is probably what I'm going to end up with.
Yeah, and I want to be clear. I'm not picking on UV here, and I apologize if they feel I am. I'm not trying to. But what I'm trying to say in this topic is, why would you make something? This is all about business, right? And I understand business very well. So why would you make a product, not just them? There's a couple arrow companies that just came out, obviously. But why would you make an arrow when you know you're up against Easton, who's the dominant player in this space for 100 years? I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. It's like, if I'm a consumer and I'm going out to buy arrows, I'm not buying anything other than Gold Tip, Easton, and Victory. Maybe Black Eagle, but and maybe Carver Express, maybe. But I guess what I'm suggesting is, like, those guys alone, that's like the top, that's like 99.5% of the market. You know what I mean? Like, and there's other ones I'm missing there, and I apologize to whoever I'm missing, but I'm just saying, like,
I mean, it could be a branding play, right?
It sounds like it.
You're not expecting to make money on that line, but you're getting marketing, you're getting your name out there, you know? Kind of, you know, and especially for those diehard Ultra View fans, you know, that they got something else in their quiver. See what I did there? I didn't think about that. I just came out. I'm pretty good tonight. But no, I think there is a branding play there. You know, you got to start off. But what I was going to say product wise is, you know, I love the fact that you're taking a separate bow, but for your other guys that aren't, we got these archery repair kits you should probably pick up.
I think he's got one. I hope
just
so.
Just in case.
You're going to need it. No, Anthony's got a ton of gear.
That's exciting, man. Like, you know, it's awesome to have something to look forward to, and that's not that far away when you're going either. You know, that's going to be in short order, and it's going to come and go pretty quickly, and you got to be excited to really be going out there, you know, this soon. That's pretty awesome, man. Now, is your tag, is it bull only? Is it for?
It's any elk. So it like bull. But so I think I have to double check my regulations before I even really honestly say anything, and I don't want to make a fool of myself. But obviously, my goal is to hit a bull elk, no matter what—a branch antler, bull elk, whatever that is. I'm going to go for it. Obviously, I'd like to get the biggest that I can, but hey, I've learned my lesson the hard way too many times. If I see one and I'm like, oh, on the first day, and I'll be like, oh, I got plenty of time to hunt, and then it comes down to the last day, and you're like, I'll take anything.
Oh, that's happened so many times. It happened on a bear hunt that we had. You know, we had always target bears out there, and, you know, we were seeing them on camera, being patient, and then, you know, it came down to we got to do something or we're not getting anything. You know, and you just got to kind of take what's available. But when you're doing, and I think that's really important. And I think that's a good point, because especially when you're doing a DIY hunt, you got to take advantage of what you have when you get it, for sure.
For sure.
So, but that's exciting, man.
Don't want to mess that up.
Yeah, like, I guess, I mean, obviously you guys, you know, with the new products coming out, you guys get to see a lot of that stuff early, and I'm sure you guys sign a lot of NDAs being able to not have to release stuff, because I'm sure you've even already seen a lot of that stuff, so that's probably pretty hard on you guys to be able to see that stuff, so I'm excited to what's going to happen. I don't think I'm really excited for anything that's come out this year, at least anything that's leaked or anything that's special that really is like, hey, this is going to change everything. You know, and I guess one term that I hate the most is everyone says game changer, and is like, I hate that term.
I don't, from what I've seen so far, I haven't seen the Matthews yet. I haven't seen Hoyt yet. I've seen the Bear stuff, and it's fine. It's nothing like extraordinary, anything that was going to be like a game changer, but there's stuff, you know, like when you think of the word game changer in the industry, you know, what comes to my mind, you know, the phase four doing the split limbs, right? Split limbs, quad limbs, or whatever you want to call it nowadays, RP, whatever it was, or for phase dampening. Either way, that was a game changer. It's different. No one's done it. It's, you know, out of the box. It's sweet. Athens coming out with that piece that wasn't, you know, was different than Bowtech. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But it was a game changer, because if it would have still been here today, it would have been a huge competitor to the industry. It would have made Athens rise dramatically in this space, for sure, because dealers could have had an easy way to tune their bow. You know, it would have been, and they were great shooting bows.
Except instead, they were rising in front of a judge.
Yeah, well, I don't know the whole detail of what happened, but they're no longer, so it doesn't matter. But point is, those were kind of game changers. Eight times.
So Magnum, not Trojan.
The most advanced range-finding bow sight is now even better. Introducing the Oracle 2 from Burris. Based on customer feedback, we improved the pin brightness control, refined the LRF adjustment system, and brightened the aiming ring. There's still no glass to scratch, fog, glare, or break, and the fail-safe 20-yard pin has your back no matter what. At the push of a button, you instantly get the yardage to target. Extend your ethical distance with the Oracle 2 from Burris. Burris.
But Easton match-grade shafts undergo a far more meticulous straightness check, with razor tolerance at both ends, the center, and the critical quarter locations. Discover the ultimate in precision and made in USA quality. Visit your authorized Easton dealer and pick up your Easton Match Grade Pro Shop Series arrows today.
Established in a small town in Kentucky in 1981, a company that produces quality products that archers have come to rely on. I started shooting with a Scott release and have passed the tradition on. As I've aged, the company I started with continues to innovate and produce the premium products it always has. My dad always told me, never forget where you came from. Well, I haven't. Shoot with confidence. Shoot a Scott.
For more than 20 years, Trophy Ridge has developed tools that bow hunters trust and continue to lead the way in bow hunting innovation. Our field-proven products dish out dirt naps all over the world. We've manufactured and sold millions of products along the way, each one strategically designed to give you a distinct advantage in the field. From the backyard and competitive courses to the backcountry and Midwest cornfields, our products remain lethal, accurate, and continue to help you react to the situation at hand. Trophy Ridge accessories give you confidence regardless of the situation. Our sights, rest, stabilizers, quivers, and releases set you up to be successful season after season. There are plenty of factors to think about on the hunt. Your gear shouldn't be one of them. We're Trophy Ridge, and we build the tools that bow hunters trust.
We are outdoors people, boating, fishing, hunting, and we are coffee lovers. My husband and I, we met at a coffee shop about 20 years back. So we've grown to love different blends, different beans, and different types of coffee. And throughout our time together, we decided that we wanted to create something for ourselves. So that's where this all came into play. And it's not just an outdoorsman, it's women, men, children. It's the community that come in here and they like it. They sit down at our cafe. They might have a venison hot dog, a cold brew coffee, and they enjoy their time here.
Well, IMS was a big game changer. I don't know if it's that big of a deal to have it attached to your riser compared to just attaching with the bolts on the side, but it is different, and I guess you could call it a game changer.
You know what I get excited about is the new technology that they come up with, because the innovation, I mean, those things are years in the making when they end up launching it.
Yeah.
But what gets me even more excited, which we haven't had in a long time, is a new company coming on board.
It's hard, man. You know, it's a hard business to break into.
It is a very hard business to break into. And I think a lot of that has to do with dealer network, you know, and being able to pick up the different dealers to be able to get your bows out there. Because it's one of those where you have to, as a manufacturer, sell in volume. And if you're not selling in volume, then you're not able to produce, you know, what you need to be profitable at all, in short.
Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com. And for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Order, so.
Yeah, probably one of the newest ones is probably Expedition. They're probably one of the newest Bose companies that actually sort of made it, if you want to call them made it, because they're not everywhere yet still. Like, you can't get them down south or even out here on the East Coast, it seems like. Even in Ohio, I don't really see them that much unless it's in a Sportsman's Warehouse, and that's the only place I see them. Outside of that, I think it's essentially in upper Midwest, I would say, but I don't know exactly where their big customer base is. But they're doing some crazy things. I know what that X-Loy or whatever that is, that carbon metal, like that is huge. That's something no one ever saw. And I figured someone would be doing something like that, you know.
Yeah, some of the other boat companies, when I mention that to them, like other companies, they like to use the term magnesium. And I don't know how true or not true that is, you know, compared to what I was told. But like either way, they seem to think it's just magnesium, which is a very high level aluminum/carbon mix or something. So I don't know. And I don't know if it, I don't, and it sounded like they wouldn't do it. No one else wants to do the material because they don't think it'll sell, from what I heard from other, you know, bow manufacturers when I ask questions. I always like to ask questions and pick a little bit just to see their thoughts on different things, you know. Just like I have talked to multiple bow companies about carbon bows, and a lot of them do not want to do or will not do a carbon bow, you know, which is.
So magnesium was around back in the old days for a while, wasn't it? Like it was really big, and then it went away for some reason. I assume it was because of the casting process or something like that. It ended up having like air bubbles in it or something, I think, if I remember right.
Yeah, I don't know what they they did mention that the companies I did ask about it, and they said that it's been around a long time. It's just, you know, no one wants to do it because it's hard to work with. I think that's might the word they used.
Okay.
Makes sense. Which is probably what you're saying. It's probably the same thing. Yeah. But either way, you know. Yeah, you're right. Expedition's probably the youngest now. Who else would there be? I think Obsession was pretty young, but they're kind of bought out, so it's hard to know what's going on there anymore.
And I guess, well, Darton's making a comeback, I guess, but they've been around forever.
I'm not surprised by that. I would say this. Actually, Randy's going to be on this podcast coming up, I think, next week, and I'm really excited to kind of grill him a little bit on it because I want to understand the plan. Like, you buy a company. It took them X amount of years to re-engineer to get to where they're at today, which is a great engineered-looking bow. It shoots good. I shot it at tech. But now it's time to market. Like, and what are we doing here? You know, like, what's going on? They still haven't done our bow review. They still, you know, so I'm like, and he says he's going to, but we'll see. But my point is, it's time to, like, turn it up, right? You can only go so far just doing the bare minimum in the industry. You have to just go for it. I mean, there's no way around it. You got to spend some money and get into it.
You got to take some risks.
Like you were saying, like, you know, how someone break in, it's hard to break in. It's cheaper. It's not cheaper, but, you know, to acquire a brand would probably be a little less cost overall than start it, because I can't imagine the marketing cost to get it to where it would need to be. And that's my point about Darton is, like, they got what they need now for the product. Now it's just time to go crazy and go, you know, ballistic, in my opinion, and just get everybody on board with their bow. That's what I would do. But that's what I've seen. Yep. The most successful bow companies I've seen have done that method. And PSC was one of those for a while. They've cut back dramatically now. They don't do anything. And I don't know when it shows. It shows when you think about them selling it, had to get rid of it because their marketing was so bad. They're having a hard time selling anything.
Well, I think one of the bigger success stories, too, in recent memory was Bear, because Bear kind of fell off a cliff there for a couple of years.
Bear's on the rise.
And they're just dominating right now, in my opinion, especially in the hunting world, because that's what they focus on.
Yeah.
They don't focus on target or
anything like they're that, smart but. Because they picked an area of money that people can afford. Yes. I mean, it's not necessarily. And then they come to people like us and like, hey, would you give your people this discount? Because we really think it'd be good to get people on board after I talked to them about it. I'm like, hey, you know, because what originally happened was, you know, the Chinese manufacturers were making a play, right? They're getting in there, San Lita, a big one, like getting in there, you know, doing all this stuff. So, you know, wanting us to do tons of videos, like would always want to send us a bow. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't know if I want to do that. And finally, I just went to Bear and I said, listen, you got to offer something. You got to give. We have to. You're the cheapest in the market right now, but I need something cheaper. I need to compete. You have to compete for San Lita. If you don't compete, the Amazon market, you will lose. And that's the one you really need, the Amazon one, because that's where you're getting people who don't normally shoot an archery bow are picking up a bow. And they're trying it. They don't know Bowhunter Plan. They don't know any of us. They don't know anything. They don't care. They just want to try an archery bow. So they're going to buy it, and then they're going to go to their pro shop, and the pro shop guy's going to laugh at them and be like, dude, what is this? Get it out of here. I'm not working on it. So in order to avoid that, I told them the best thing to do is to give, let me give a discount, push the crap out of the bow, Yeah, because I know it's a great bow. Like, let's give low cost options that people can afford
if as they're an willing. Entry point.
If they're willing to buy online as an entry point, and so it's worked, and they've been very successful with our code and getting more and more buyers to buy a bear bow to start, and with Hunting Public as well. I mean, they've been very successful compared to. I can't imagine anybody more successful than Bear in that market.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
In the $300 to $1,000 range. Well, maybe $900 range.
Yeah, no, for sure. And then, I mean, nothing against it. Like, Bear was one of my first bows I ever had. It was a Bear Anarchy, I think, back in the day. It was my very first one I ever had. I mean, I loved it. It was a single cam, I want to say, bow at the time, if I remember right. But I love that thing. And I think I went to Arena 34, I think was my next bow. And then I got into the PSCs after that. So, and then fell in love with PSC. I mean, granted, it was borderline between PSC and who was the other one? I can't think of off the top of my head. I think it was probably Hoyt, between those two at the time. No, so the NXT33 was my first PSC.
So, speaking of PSC, where do you think Dudley's going to go now that he's announced he will no longer renew? Which I'm not surprised. I knew this was coming. I knew this was coming a while ago because I talked to him. But I haven't heard where he's going. He hasn't told me. And I don't know. What's your thoughts where he'll end up?
I don't know. I have a feeling he'll probably end up back at Hoyt again.
I was thinking the same thing. But then again, I start thinking about his past with Matthews is so large, you know. But Matthews is so stacked. I don't know they would need him or could afford him either way because they're so stacked. I mean, they have everybody and anybody.
What would surprise you?
Prime?
Yeah, Prime would be a really big surprise. But I think he probably had the most freedom there out of everywhere else.
I feel like if I could pick where to put him, I'd put him in Prime because I think G5 needs the help. I think they would probably give him some room to play. And furthermore, it would be a huge win for Prime, a big push. All those PSC shooters who are shooting knock-on stuff would go to Prime. Not all, but probably a lot of them. And that would be a huge hit to PSC, in my opinion. I think that's going to be, I don't want to say a nail in the coffin, but it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt bad. But again, you know, it comes down to ownership, you know. We got new owners at PSC, new owners at Bowtech, and everything has changed.
It has been kind of a weird couple of years.
They've canceled everything they did online, Bowhunter Plan being one of them for both those brands. And it's hard to describe it to people to understand, but the market doesn't work the way these business people think it does. So they come in, they buy this company for millions of dollars. They think they understand business. They know marketing because they made a lot of money in their lives. I get it. But when you get to this industry, there are some simple, basic things that always happen in this industry. You know, Bowhunter Plan's one of those things. We fall into a little sector of this little niche that is right there. It's real tiny, and there's not really many people that do what we do in that little bit of a niche. And so the same goes. There's a couple of us who do it, of course, you know, but what I'm saying is it's almost like a guide you kind of have to follow. There's really no way around it.
Well,
you're
not getting your brand out there through any normal means of business.
There's
not anymore.
Yeah, this community of archery is a very small community.
It's
that
small.
Is very dedicated to what they do and what they watch, us being one of them, thank you. But I think that's to your point, is that you can't come in here with a normal business plan, normal marketing plan that you can can do with any other consumer type of product and be
thinking.
Successful within the archery industry.
Well, and I think that's where UltraView does really good, is they're younger guys, and they're storming the industry right now because everything they're doing is free, right? You're doing Instagram, which is free. You're doing TikTok, which is free. You don't have to really pay anyone. I mean, you might have to pay someone to edit and whatever else, but to do marketing on those things is a free service. Like, you don't really have to do much, and it's there. And I mean, look at, you know, obviously Chris B was this, you know, he was really good at archery, and he just recorded himself and posted videos and got big because of it.
Yep. As long as the algorithm gods grant bless you, you know.
Yeah, but I think you could, even at that though, you could just flood the market with a whole bunch of stuff, and eventually something's going to grab and go. And if you keep flooding and have a big team of, you know, younger generation people doing it, and you hire some good younger
about all the time. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
Next generation.
Yeah, it is. What does the next generation look like?
Yeah, if you hire those guys, they're going to, you know, and not necessarily the people that, it's not your buying power necessarily. It's like, hey, if I get people's kids to get interested, they're going to end up then showing their parents who have the buying power to be able to then do that. You know, it's like, you know, at the same time, it, and it's in all reality, it's free, right? It's a free service to do as long as you understand, take some good pictures from time to time. It's not like you have to have big ads and TV commercials anymore or magazines and like all that stuff. That's like gone out the window. Everything is really short, 60 second or less, like keep your attention grabbing.
But not until very recently have I really started to realize, you know what we are? We're influencers.
Yeah. That's really what I didn't know we are. We're Anthony. It's actually funny because I just do this because I honestly, I love doing it. It's not like we do this for money or anything, but I didn't realize how important we were in the role we played. A couple things actually helped me realize this. Number one is sometimes we'll get a lot of messages from people say, thank you so much. I got my kid in archery because of you, or I picked up a bow because of this. And then when we go to shows, I always get people come out to me and say like, oh, I love your show. Thanks for doing what you do. I mean, it's a lot of people. So that keeps me going too. The other thing is when Bear told us how much money they made off our code, I was like, oh my God, yeah. Like really? I mean, it was more than like 50% of their pro shops. I mean, it's crazy. And so what I've been telling companies is you know, not only do you need to do your pro shops, you have to. Pro shops are very, very important. I love pro shops, nothing against them. But you still have to offer one bow online. You have to have something that's a direct to sale. Yeah. And the reason is protection, realistically. And market for people who are not going to go into that pro shop. There are so many people that will not go in. And I do the same thing. I do not go into a tennis pro shop to buy a tennis racket. I do not go into a Trek store to buy a bike. I buy it here.
That's not the way the new generation thinks either, though. A lot of the new generation are scared to go face to face.
Correct. That's the other issue. So you have to offer something. And that's where Bear hit the home run, is they were willing to deviate a little bit from that and take the hits from their dealers who are probably yelling at them about it, you know. But what they did is, here's the thing. Like, you have a brand and 95% of people don't know it, right? Yeah. So you're trying to get them to give it a chance, give it a try, right? Mm-hmm. So let me give a 20% code and you give these people an option. So they can, like, you know what, I'll try it for the additional $10 off, whatever. I'll give it a whirl, Matt, right, this time. And so he just gave that code. We were in a live feed the other day, and he came in, and people are like, they're like Rex here, tell him to give us a discount. I said, Matt, now's the time, man. People want to try this broadhead. And he's like, I'll do it. he sent the same code we use for Bear, which is BHP 2024. I said, hey, make it the same. That way it's easier for us to flow with everything. So now people can get 20% off Rec broadheads, which is huge. Because, again, a lot of people might want to try it, and they might not. But this at least gives them that little bit of an edge to make a decision, right? To say, you know what? It's a little bit of save. I'll give it a whirl.
Mm-hmm. You can see that it does work. There's tangible, because a lot of things that we've run into over the years.
Yeah, too, people can't change.
We run into companies that say, well, we don't really know how much you guys have really influenced our business.
Yeah, right? What you're like, doing for us.
What the ROI is to us, what the return on investment for us. And that's hard to prove. But when you have, you know, physical, tangible evidence of what we can do, I mean, I think that's a big game changer.
It's helped us dramatically. Once we learn, like, what that looks like.
And it's normal now. It's in everybody's psyche. Yeah. Right? Like, nobody wants to buy something at full price.
But now they look at us and they're like, that's a value. Yep. BHP's a value.
The only time I buy something online is when I have a discount code. And if I don't have one, guess what I do? I Google one.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I mean, that's what you do.
Well, and that's, you know, the mentality is like, even if you're getting 10%, hey, I'm saving taxes, right? I'm getting a little bit money off. Can, you know, and the same thing with me is like, just talking about that, where Ohio is doing the tax-free weekend. I'm like, I'm planning on going to buy something, right? And same thing, like, now you guys got that 20%. I was thinking about buying Rec, and guess what? I'm probably going to go use your code. So
yeah, it makes sense. And the thing is people, we can't, the problem is these companies can't discount the idea of selling online. They're like, you know, they're putting aside, oh, I can't do it. Dealers will get mad at me. But here's the thing. It's more than that. And I say this to anybody watching the show right now. You have to diversify your business. Like, if you are not ready for that online push, what happens when the pro shops that you've been selling to go out of business or something? You have to have a – so I've been pushing on Elite to do this. I've been pushing on any of them who will listen to me about it. I said, listen, Elite, you have all these bows. Sell these, you know, $600 and less online. Sell one of them online. Just give me one. Rename one. Bear renames their bows all the time. It does a change, a quick little change. The business is interesting, man. It really is. It's just, and every company's different. You know, every company's has different feelings about everything, you know, when it comes to marketing, about competitors, you know.
Well, and that's the real question too, is like, how much is, you know, these bow shops actually making off these bows? I can't imagine it's that much. Like, and then on top of it, you sell the bow, you're doing also, what I've seen a lot of them do is they'll, hey, I'll tie in a D loop, I'll tie in a peep and all that stuff for free. I mean, granted they're buying those accessories, but they'll do all that extra work for free because they purchased the bow from them. And it's like, well, usually that's, you know, a $20 charge here, $20 charge there, that, this, that. It's like, that's probably where you're going to make most of your money is in those things. It's like, hey, I'm going to retie a peep, do a D loop and stuff like that. That's 100% profit on them for the most part, because material cost is nothing.
And if you get really kind of outside the box with it, they could still give credit to their dealers, because a lot of the dealer networks are territory based, right? So if I'm shipping it to a certain territory, if I'm shipping it to XYZ zip code, right, then I can give a $20, $50 credit to that dealer, you know, because they're going to be the ones servicing that bow, right? And we can do some
promotions with that dealer. You could do that, yeah. I didn't think of that. That is definitely a possibility.
There's some things that you can do as a business that doesn't hurt the dealer, but that also diversifies your business at the same time.
No, for sure. No, I mean, right now I'm in the market for a new site, so I'm trying to find out of anything that's out there that's pretty nice. But I don't think there's anything coming out that's anything different than what's already been out there.
Well, you better have a good range finder too.
Well, I was gonna say you should try the Burris one, the Oracle 2, but yeah. I don't know if it's legal where you're going. Sometimes it's not legal.
Yeah,
the rangefinder's fine. I just can't have. There's no electronics on the bow itself, so you could have like a rangefinder external, but you can't have it on the bow. So you can't have like the Garmin Zero or whatever it's called, bow sight or anything like that. There's no like, so there's no lights. You can't put any lights on your sight or anything. You have light in Knox now, in Montana, but you can't have any lights on your bow sight or anywhere else either. So.
I always think those things are laughable, in my opinion, but it's my opinion.
just
the whole thing of this old school mentality. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, dude, if it works, I have a tag. It's not doing anything crazy. It's not like I'm shooting a laser at it.
Well, it's like they expect.
So weird.
And they do this, right? Like when they issue tags, they're running the data saying X amount are going to be successful and X amount are.
Yeah, but
well, adjust your data again, a little bit and give people a better opportunity, because they're going to come back time and time and time again, and they're going to get their kids insured. And that's the whole mentality of the industry or of that side of the sport that I don't like, because a lot of times the regulations fight new people coming in because
they're so terrible. And not only that, like, okay, so if I'm going out to shoot an elk and I'm not allowed to do all these certain things, right? But those things make me more accurate, more better, more of a chance to make a successful kill without wounding the animal.
Yeah.
So why would that not be legal?
Right.
Like a light it on my sights so they can make sure I can actually see where I'm putting my pin. Do you know what I'm saying?
Wouldn't you want to max out your tag sales because people want to come to your state and hunt?
No, you know? they don't care. I don't know, man. It's weird. I can't even fathom.
And I mean, when they do tags, they're not doing it where they're going to devastate the population. They're only issuing enough to keep the population, you know, what they need to harvest on it.
Jeez.
Or just guess, because I can tell you right now.
Yeah, they probably guess.
There's a couple species in Michigan. They have no clue what's out there.
Man. We have so many deer here; it's unbelievable.
And I would say the elk too. They actually don't know where these things range, man. Like they're in areas, and I know that they're in areas that they don't think that they're in. It's crazy.
We had mountain lions. They didn't know they had mountain lions too.
Yep.
Michigan's so vast, man. Yep. Like, we have a lot of land north, and Michigan just did one where they went through and. They have too many deer, so they're trying to set these new regulations. They have less tag sales. All tag sales are down, and it's terrible. Like, basically, they've ruined generations of hunters by banning baiting. You know, baiting in Michigan's like a normal thing. Like, it just is. Like, it's something that our grandfathers did. It brought deer in. Yeah. Kids like myself would shoot deer on these bait piles, and then I'd be hooked into archery. I want to do it all the time. I still am today because of that. But once that got taken away, all the young kids are so bored, and they can't nowadays with kids being so tech savvy and stuff, they get so bored and they can't, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the whole idea of relaxing out there is not the same anymore as it used to be.
Well, and but to your point, like, that's why I don't understand. Why do you think things through? Like, allow baiting if the person hunting over the bait is 18 or under, right? Like, I don't know.
If you can use a feeder that spreads it all out.
They have,
like,
no,
it doesn't
mentality
even make any sense
to grow that.
Yeah, they don't, they're not growing anything. They're losing the base, and it's not good because the whole thing's going to come crashing down with no money. They're making billions of dollars.
I kind of feel like a lot of times, like, we as big game hunters in Michigan, they take our money and they put it towards other sports that are making them more money.
Yeah,
you know,
for
like
sure.
Fishing and boating and all that kind of stuff. But
yeah, and I mean, putting out bait though doesn't make it's not like they come running, like, you know, it's not like the ice cream truck down the road, you know, it's like that little noise coming down the road for ice cream truck and kids come running out. It's that doesn't happen,
especially in a state where you have there is a
abundance.
Known overpopulation of deer.
So
like
deer.
I get it in states where there's not an overpopulation, right? That make that can make
sense. Ohio has baiting, they have no issues.
That's true.
They've had baiting,
but they also offer their tags up right too, in the way that they
do the right tag,
you know.
Yeah, the only thing that they have an issue with right now, and the issue with baiting, is the CWD, and that's a big thing that they don't want you to do, is just because of that. They're like, oh, there's some big cases out here in Ohio, so they're like, you could do it, but be careful. And then if you want to get your deer tested, and we'll do it for free, like, just bring it to a DNR office and you know, ship in the gland, and we'll test it for free and let you know.
Yeah, I get it. I just don't know if I buy the science that baiting would increase CWD.
My whole thing is make it more feeders, like things that spread it out, corn only. I mean, there's got to be ways to do it to where it's a little bit better, maybe thicker grass where the corn goes into the grass. They have to dig and not whatever, because like the thing is we could do field plots all day. If I got $1 million, I could keep putting a food plot out and spend all this money to do the same thing, to come in and eat the same stalks and the same beets that are, you know, we put in food plots a couple years ago. There's these huge beets sitting outside, and guess what? There's all these mouth marks where they ate, and guess what? They come in another one, eat the same mouth mark. So what's the difference? A beet on the ground I grew compared to a beet on the ground I threw.
Nice. That we're making a hat on that one.
That's it. This podcast is over. It has to end on that. That was amazing. I just threw that out there.
Oh,
too.
That was good. I like it.
Anthony, man, good luck. All right. We're going to get going. Good luck on your trip. And have fun. All right. It's the most important thing. And film it. Don't forget.
We'll see you online soon.
Have a good one, guys.
Thank you for tuning into the show today. We hope you had a good time. Please make sure you hit that subscribe button and like button where you can. You can find us all over every platform. And don't forget to join our membership programs. Have a lot of fun with the community here and have a chance to win some really cool products. We'll see you soon.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.